Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod, a summer special. It's not a summer special, it's just summer. I hope the sun shines with you from the greatest city in the world, Manchester, which we can say now with absolute certainty and no one can actually have a go at us about. Matt is in the awful London and Marcia is in the terrible Toronto.
Toronto, it's alliterative.
Thousands of miles away. How's Toronto, Marcia?
It's pretty good. It's like the warmest day today. We've had a stupidly cold spring.
Nice. Matt, how is the dreadful London?
A little bit rainy, a little bit sunny.
There we go. And Jamie has now moved house and he comes to us from his new house in Eccleston, Lancashire.
Eccleston.
How's small town life treating you?
Had some ducks in the back garden this morning and
shot 'em.
I thought they were just here to have some fun, but I think they were actually trying to intimidate the new family on the block because they shat all over the decking and they ripped up some of the...
Some of the what? Wi-Fi? So, yeah. What did they rip up? Jamie? Oh.
The ducks got him.
Oh, wow, the ducks.
Hello?
Jamie, what did the ducks what did the ducks rip up?
They ripped up the plants.
Great. Put your head near the Yeah, put your head near the Wi-Fi. This week we are talking about the box set frequency. I think Marcia suggested this a while ago and I have now watched episode 1. Matt, what have you watched?
I watched episode 1.
And Jamie, what have you watched?
One.
Okay, so we're all one episode in. Do you know what?
How much has Marcia watched?
Seen the whole thing.
Okay.
All of it.
I thought that was implicit. Matthew, let's just begin with a very vague question, because I wonder if we're all going to fall quite similarly on this one. Matt, for a mark out of 10, what would you give it?
I don't know.
I'm really asking.
Oh, all right. I guess I'd give it about a 4.
Ooh, Jamie. Jamie, higher or lower than a 4?
I'll give you a 5.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm going to give it a 7.5. So, Okay. We've got grounds for discussion here. The background of this is basically... Oh, God. Who wants to give us the background? Come on, with your best enthusiasm, Jamie Atherton.
Well, it's follow-up to the film Frequencies.
It's based on...
It was a 2000... Yeah, Dennis Quaid film, which I actually really like that film. Basically, there is a female cop played by Peyton List from Mad Men. Not seen her in a while.
Who's she in Mad Men?
She marries Roger Sterling. She's his, he has an affair with her in the office.
Okay.
There you go, guys. Yeah. And so she's the main character in it. She finds her dad's old sort of transistor radio or ham radio.
Ham radio, come on. They said it like a million times.
Apologies. Yeah, you're bloody right. Anyway, she starts speaking to her father. She's in 2016 and he is in 1996 and they are speaking to each other via this radio.
Jamie, I've got to stop you. Your Wi-Fi is so dreadful.
Plot.
Jamie, your Wi-Fi is awful. It sounds like you're down a transistor radio from now.
You sound like Wally.
Are you going to get an improved Wi-Fi at some point, or is this it now that you've moved to the sticks?
Hello?
Oh, my God.
Good grief.
I can hear you. Sorry. It's just one of those days with Wi-Fi, I'm sorry, it's going to be a bit crap.
Jamie, how about you connect via 3G instead? How do you think feel about
that? That's a great idea. Hold on a second.
Why don't you do that? Let's let Jamie do that. Matt, has Jamie missed anything out from that setup? I think he has, something quite key.
It's the day. So
yes,
they connect with each other on the day of her birthday, her 28th birthday, and it's the day before her father's gonna die. Back in 1996, he goes on a cop bus that went bad. Some stuff went down and he got shot while running away from a car. But now she's got the power to change the past. And lo and behold, there's a butterfly effect that sweeps through time, changing the space-time continuum. So when she gets to the future, her mom's now dead and her dad is dead too.
It just feels like you're not taking this seriously.
It's because this is the closest box set that we've ever had to an episode of Scooby-Doo.
And another crucial plot point is that in 2016, she's always hated her dad because when he died,
turned out to be a bad guy.
He turned out to be a bad cop. He'd crossed. He was undercover for 2 years, and
went
then
too
it
deep.
Turned out he crossed over to the other side. But then she finds out that that's not true at all.
Yes.
And actually, he was set up.
All right.
Honestly, do you know what I thought of when I realized what the plot of this show was?
Quantum Leap.
No, well. Well, no, I mean, God, there's so many things that it references. Now that I find out that it's actually based on a film that already existed, it can't even be credited for having a half-decent idea because someone else already had it. But what I thought of when I realized what was going on is, do you remember in Friends when Joey gets a job on a film in Las Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
And he tells the story about it, and the punchline of his story is, she has been dead for 10 years. That's what this made me think of. It's just like, how did this get made?
Okay.
I just can't believe that they've managed to make a full series out of it.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Well,
I'm sorry, Marsha. There must be redeeming things about it. What are they?
No, not yet. Not yet, Marsha. Okay. Not yet. Because once we start her, she'll be off. Let's get all of the negativity out and then give you a chance to corral us into action, right? Jamie, what were your objections?
It's just so ham-fisted. It's just so shoehorns all these plot devices in so quickly in. And it's like, and it's such an obvious, and there's no subtlety. It's just a very, like, bog-standard American TV show where the Nightingale murderer is still
the
going.
The Nightingale murderer, honestly. Can you even believe they called it that? That's like one of the titles they come up with for a murderer on Brooklyn Nine-Nine where they're taking the piss out of this stuff. The Nightingale killer. Good grief. And the picture of him that they've got, the little sketch, is just like, can someone draw what an evil person looks like.
That's the thing. It's just a big American TV show cliche. The only redeeming feature, it's got Mekhi Phifer in it, one of my favourite actors. He's a great actor.
Is he the guy who played Pratt in ER?
Yes.
Right, I couldn't figure out where I'd seen him, and then I was like, that's who he is.
I couldn't either. He's a brother, yeah?
No,
do you mean chicken? Sweet Christ! What is he?
What is he? What was he playing? It?
He's an African American gentleman.
I don't know.
He plays the cop buddy of hers. He was also the buddy of her dad.
All right. Yeah.
So, colleague.
Oh, sorry. You were asking if he was playing the brother.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying he's a brother, in a black person.
Oh, Jesus.
Seriously, that's what I thought you were saying.
Well, there we go.
I'm glad that wasn't.
Shot like CSI in colour, which doesn't help, I think. But the things that happen are like Goonies. And that's one thing that I thought about. It was, I had these very similar opinions to these two at first. I was like, oh, crack. I thought, is it because I do this podcast or because of where we are? But I'm sick of pilots now that have me guessing who done it, who died, how did they die. I, you know, just getting so sick of a pilot that has
flashbacks throughout that gradually leads us to stuff. I thought Breaking Bad had sorted it out and just given us the answers immediately and challenged itself. So for the first half of it, it looked like it was going in that direction. I thought the whole series is going to be about her saving her dad. And, well, in some ways it may well be. But she actually saves... ruined it. She might save her dad in episode one, and it might lead to another problem. But I actually thought that the way it shot was going to bring forth more criticism than it would if it was shot like The Goonies or like what's it called, the one that we all loved that was Spielberg like and like
Stranger Things.
Yeah,
because it you know, the radio and the talking to the dad and all of that stuff, it's like I can take that if it's part of kind of a kid's world with mystery and intrigue, but it's not.
But it has to have some craft about it. This has no craft. And it looks like it does those things because it just can't think of anything else.
Well, there's also those obvious moments where, like, you know, her husband would not believe her that she's talking to her dad, just told her that she was mad. The garage is 5 meters away. Take him to the fucking garage. Take him to the garage and say, talk to my dad with me.
Yeah, but then why would he would still be like, no, it's just some dude you're having an affair with.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, that's fair enough. No, and also, it would be like... the frog that does the tap dancing. The radio would never work in front of someone else.
Yeah.
But also remember that the husband never met the dad. So how does he know it's the dad?
Well, it doesn't matter. You can
be like, yeah, for sure, I'm her dad and not someone who she's secretly banging.
But you know,
like,
what? that you've just said and Matt's point about the radio not working, you can do all that. Just take him to the garage and do it there. Don't leave it at, oh, you're going mad, love. And her going, yeah, you're probably right. No, take him to the fucking garage. At least try or don't have the conversation. That's what I said.
By the way, who is the actor playing her boyfriend? Where is his accent from?
He's South
How did he
African.
Get into television?
South African. It sounds
he's South
New Zealand.
African.
Australia.
Is
no,
he?
He's South
he sounds
African.
Like
I knew he was
everything
in
at
South
once.
African. And they reference it a couple of times.
I bet they do.
And his
in
name
the first
is,
episode?
I can't remember his first name, but his last name is Bonjour. Because everything.
And he's from South Australia, Zand.
No, he's from South Africa, and I think it's South. I'm a real dick with accents. Like, I will watch Game of Thrones, and someone would be speaking Dothraki, and I'll be like, fake accent. But I can spot a fake accent from a mile off. When I watched The Wire, I found Dominic What's-His-Face so hard to watch because I found his accent impossible. And I've spoken to so many people who were like, I had no idea he was British.
Mm. Yeah, that's me. That's me. Sorry.
And sorry to make your voice.
I notice it when I watch it again. I notice it every time.
But I think that Mr. Bonjour actually has a very convincing South African accent because I got it straight away because I was like, this is very rare that you have a main character who has a South African accent that isn't really explained beyond the fact that someone at some point is like, oh yeah, the South African.
He just happens to be from there. Okay. Always the activist. She's taken the activist perspective. Saying,
I don't
thank
think
God
that
we're
South Africans are really a minority.
That's what it sounds like. And they reference the fact that he's grown up there with his mum being from there and everything. I'm like, how would he have this? Anyway.
Do they?
Yes, in the pilot, yeah. His mum's lived there for all these years anyway. Oasis, my theory is, first of all, I really liked it by the end. Sarah, we're going to watch Frequency episode 2, aren't we? Yeah, you see.
What did you like about it?
Come and talk to us a second. Marsha wants to know, what did you like about it? She's naked, hang on, and the curtains are open.
Ooh.
Crawl in.
This is top quality radio.
Okay, she's in pyjamas now. Okay, come here. Marsha wants to know what you liked about it.
Oh, I feel really put on the spot. It was a bit like Quantum Leap. It's sort of cheesy. Mm. It's sort of fun. It's a bit kind of a rubbish... Outer Limits and Twilight Zone and that sort of era, and I think it's worth episode 2, surely.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I wondered, Marsha, if because it had Oasis on the soundtrack and you picked the music for the In-Betweeners, you you were drawn in by just a funky soundtrack, an indie soundtrack.
By being British indie soundtrack, and I missed it.
That was the moment where it got written off for me when Wonderwall started playing.
That stood out to
that
me.
That was the end of it.
Yeah, then we had a conversation about were Oasis even big in America in the 90s, because I don't know if they were.
That's why it's cool that they chose that record, because for most people watching it, they won't necessarily know it.
Cool.
By stark contrast to your experience, Hal, that was when my wife left the room.
Was that the programme, or was she not like Oasis very much?
Well, to be honest, like I said to her, look, I've got to watch. I want to start watching this show for the podcast tomorrow. Do you want to watch the first episode? And she said, "What's it about?" And I said, "I'm not going to tell you because I read the blurb and I knew that if I gave her the blurb she'd be like fuck that, I'm going to go and watch The Walking Dead upstairs."
Yeah, that's pretty much my reaction to every time that Howell says we've got to watch such and such by Tuesday. I'd normally vacate the room.
I think the problem with the Oasis thing is that it's like everything in the show, it's like really like ham, it's just really like clumsy. Sort of, it's sort of, they might as well just play the song that said it's 1996 now, just in case you didn't know. Like, come on.
Maybe I was just in a place where I needed a bit of spoon feeding, but I don't know, it kind of has that nice retro thing that's around at the moment.
It's easy
and everyone needs a bit of that.
Wonder whether it's gonna you know, this was a pilot we were watching, and pilots do cram a lot in and they're often shot quite lazily or cheaply. Do the production values increase, Marsha? Does this...
So let me tell you what I like about it. So you know how I watch TV either by myself or with my TV buddy. And when I'm with my TV buddy, that's where I watch the stuff that really challenges me, because we can talk about it afterwards. If it's really complicated, I'll hit pause and make him explain what's going on. And I wanted a new TV show to watch by myself. And as you know, I tried very hard with The West Wing, but it's not a show to watch on my own. And I thought, I want drama, but I just want some like easy garbage I can watch by myself. Yeah. And then I saw this, and what I liked about it is it's like thriller, but it's not, I don't like it when it's really murdery. So it's like, even though it has a serial killer in it, it's not super murdery. You're not constantly looking at dead bodies. It's thriller, but it's not so scary that I can't watch it on my own. It has a little bit of sci-fi, and I love like a little, my favorite kind of sci-fi is like real life, slightly wonky. And as we were just saying, it's so easy. I mean, it's totally, you're absolutely right that it's so hammy. Peyton List basically has one facial expression for the entire show.
And she looks like Gillian Jacobs. Gillian Jacobs, I can't get over how much she looks like.
Yeah. There's so many things where I'm just like, that's just not convincing of you as a cop. Once it gets further in the series, there's so much space-time continuum stuff that you just really have to suspend disbelief on the physics of it, because... there's a lot of kind of physics plot holes, but it's really easy to watch. And it's not, you know, it's not so clunky that it made me crazy. It was like just clunky enough that it didn't at all challenge me. And through the series, they do a really good job of keeping you gripped, but not making you feel like you have to stay up all night and watch 10 episodes in a row, which for me is like the perfect TV show to watch by myself. Because sometimes I want to ruin my life with like a Breaking Bad or a Game of Thrones, but sometimes I just want to watch a bit of TV. And sometimes, you know, I would watch two or three episodes in a row. But I think they do, as I said, as the season goes on, they do a great job of keeping you interested, not making it, you know, they have a couple of little silly things, but they don't do any, like, massive clangy subplots that get really, like, stupid.
Like your microphone, because you keep hitting the desk while you're talking.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to stop that. Yeah, they don't have, like, massive clangy subplots that you feel like, what the hell is this here for?
Yeah.
And then the very, very last episode, which I just watched, I was totally thrilled right to the last minute. And I was kind of wondering, how are you going to do this in a way that, like, both wraps it up and makes me want to keep watching if there's a season two? And I felt like they did an absolutely beautiful job.
I wholeheartedly agree with everything you've just said. And on top of that, after the first episode, it did leave me thinking, which dead person would I like to speak to on the radio?
Yeah!
There was a takeaway from that for me too.
Did you come to a conclusion on that?
Actually,
there may be a male female bias going on here. My sister loves it as well and says has basically said exactly what you just said about it, because she doesn't like. It's what we men would call quite a namby-pamby argument. She doesn't like anything too scary, nothing too this, nothing too that. It's like a nice dilute pint of squash.
Yeah, when you're watching TV by yourself and you already constantly think that there's an axe murderer in your bath to the point where you frequently pull the shower curtain aside to check, you don't want something that's going to terrify you.
We're also absolutely gobbling up and loving Kimmy Schmidt, the latest series of Kimmy Schmidt. And it is so fast. The gags are so quick that you miss half the gags because you're laughing at the previous one. And it's quite hard work in that sense, in that it's like just like straight at the screen. And normally we would put up against that quite a big meaty drama, and actually this is quite nice because it's kind of, it's not a big meaty drama, but it's a nice rest after Kimmy.
Yeah, it's enough, doesn't ruin your life.
I think you summed it up quite perfectly when you called it easy garbage.
yeah
What else did you say? There was a great quote in there that was something like, oh god, it just made me think, on our website, we should get like a poster designer to create a load of new posters for box sets and put quotes that people have said about it on this podcast. Because Marsha said something like, it's entirely boring garbage or something. 5 stars.
Yeah. Easy garbage. 3 stars for when you need a 3-star box set.
Yeah, it's like cuddly. But
you know what? I really like a time travel movie and TV show, and I gotta say, I just wanted this to be slightly better. I think if it had been just a little bit better, and I gotta say, like, the cast is pretty weak. Like no one is coming out of this and I'm going, oh god, look at him, look at her.
But this is episode one.
Oh, look at her.
Yeah.
Oh, look at her. She's doing such a good job.
The script would allow for really strong acting, which is fine.
Really? They're just completely.
There's another one. There's another poster available on our website. Doesn't allow for really strong acting.
I don't know. How is that a compliment, Marsha? I mean,
like... because I just think, again, it's like, I feel like it would be weird if you had like John Hurt in the middle of that, because the lines are cheesy, and so you need someone who you don't feel embarrassed for when they're delivering the lines.
That's so
great. But I think
he's the type of actor who you cannot feel embarrassed for when he's delivering a shit line.
But it's all very likable. Peyton List with her one facial expression, very likable. Mekhi Phifer, very, very likable. The guy, I can't remember the name of the actor who plays the dad, but you end up loving him.
Okay, so
Mekhi Phifer's put on a few pounds, hasn't he?
Look,
yeah, he's looking a bit short.
Here's what Jamie and Matt are thinking right now, Marsha. They're thinking, Marsha doesn't really watch as many box sets as us. She gets really enthusiastic about a bag of shit, jumps on here, slags off the West Wing, and then disappears for 6 months. There's no way I'm going to carry on watching Frequency. That's what they're thinking. Now, you've described why you enjoy it, but do any of their criticisms improve after episode one, or is it more of the same?
I feel like it's if you can settle into the clunk, and as you say, it has its place.
Poster three.
No, but it has its place. Like, you gave a... So for me, it's like when I'm home alone and I don't want to worry about axe murderers, it's the perfect TV. When you're watching Kimmy Schmidt or something that's challenging you in other ways, and you want something that's a good, like, you know... just something to kind of reflect it, that, like... that is a good, like, accompaniment. You know, it's like sometimes you want to eat garbage food because that's what you're in the mood for.
I do get all of this. One of my issues is that, you know, it's been cancelled, don't you, Marsha?
Oh, has it? Oh, that's so sad.
So I don't like starting the show that's not going to...
But see, no, but I would say if you do find a place for it in your life, the way that they end it, much like Utopia, the way that they end it, it both gives room for a next season and gives you satisfaction for what's happened. Like, you don't, it's not like The Hour, which I still think is worth watching, but you leave the end of the second season of The Hour and you're desperate to know what's going to happen next. Whereas with this, you feel like I can totally see how this would go into season two, but also I'm satisfied if it never does.
It just breaks my heart because I feel like you have spent so much of your life on box sets that are really substandard.
But only when I only when that's about what the I end want
of you're talking about the end of
the hour. Honestly, how did you make it there?
Well, no.
And it's like, Marcia, tell us about season 42 of Last of the Summer Wine.
But the hour was brilliant. Are you genuinely don't love the hour?
Yeah,
the
genuinely.
First four episodes of the hour were really good, and then it just went to shit.
It's because the BBC said we need to make a Mad Men. And if you've watched Mad Men, this is my point, Marcia. If you'd listen to our advice and actually stick to things, you'd find that you don't need to buy the Tesco brand cola.
I thought the first season of The Hour was tremendous. And the second season, it was a few episodes of weirdness at the beginning, and then I really enjoyed it again.
And that's great.
Well, it's nice that we have a diverse spectrum of opinions. You know, nice that there are people who can like The West Wing and Mad Men and The Sopranos, and there are other people who can enjoy The Hour and Frequency.
I'm just fascinated by the day that Marcia has also watched those other things and then either says, but I still love The Hour and Frequency. Or she goes, she just weeps and says, so much time lost.
I think The Hour I always love. It's one of my favourite things I've ever seen. Yeah. But I also, I just, certainly with Frequency. I mean, even when I suggested it, I never actually suggested it. I just said, I've been watching this show called Frequency.
Okay.
It's sort of half crime thriller, half sci-fi.
What are you saying? Why did we watch it then?
I was so excited that for once it was a show.
What happened here?
My sister, who makes very good recommendations, kept going on about it, and so I thought we should. Yeah, and so when you mentioned it, I thought, we should. And I probably will. I think we will carry on watching it. So there's not a chance that Matt is going to reach episode 4.
No, none.
I admire your honesty, even if this does mean that you're fired from the box set pod. Jamie, what about you?
You know, I get the reasons to watch this. It's throwaway. It's fast food TV. It doesn't hurt your brain. I've watched stuff like that. I watched Under the Dome for 2.5 seasons. I mean, that was heinous. It was actually a show about people
under a dome. Yeah.
And there was another show, How to Get Away with Murder, which I watched a 1.5 series, and that was complete trash. Yeah. But we loved it for a while because it was brainless. And I do get those reasons, but I haven't got room in my life for Frequency at the moment. I'm gonna have to pass. I'm watching some good stuff. I'm watching Better Call Saul. I'm watching Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley. It's amazing.
What a show,
Marcia.
Can I just ask? Tracking back to last week, did you continue with 13 Reasons Why, Hal?
Oh my God, started episode 2 with Sarah last night or the night before. Her narration is driving me up the wall.
It drops off a cliff on episode 2, doesn't it? But then it actually, I thought, oh no, this has gone to an awful place.
Yeah.
But then it kind of pulls it back.
Okay, fine.
And it comes back a little bit further, and I think I'm on 5 or 6 maybe.
I mean, at the moment, I'm just shouting, just kill yourself at the TV.
Oh.
It can't be a good place to be. It's not real, everybody. All right, it's not real.
No, but given the way you talked about it last week, that's all a little bit distasteful.
Exactly, I know. We dealt with the social action last week. This week, it's a fucking drippy teen drama, and the narration could have been easily quartered. It just goes on and on and on. Anyway.
No, I mean, all that stuff in the coffee house with the three of them FML business, honestly, it made me want to shoot someone.
Yeah, that's where I am. That's it. Going on Prison Break. In terms of awful, the new series of Prison Break is being released gradually, and it is truly awful. So next to that, Frequency is an absolute winner.
Talking of prison TV shows, may I ask you all how you're feeling about the new series of Orange
Porridge? Orange is the New Black.
Orange is the New Black.
Haven't started it. Haven't actually got through the last one.
June the 9th.
It's not out yet.
It's not out till June the 9th.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Haven't got through the last one yet. Started to... For me, the whole Piper story that was in the first series was what it was all about.
Yeah.
I can put up with backstories for a series, but when they continue into the next series, it's like, no, I need a really gripping, forward-pushing plot. I'm sick of just flashbacks. I hate flashbacks.
It lost me in series three.
I'll definitely be coming back. But the last thing I heard was that it had been stolen by hackers, and they were trying to ransom it back to Netflix.
No way.
That's what I heard.
What, they'd stolen every copy of it?
They only need one, Matt, to release it.
No, how would they ransom it back?
Oh, I see. It ahead of time.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they care about that. Yeah. Everything gets released anyway, doesn't it?
I feel like that's like a plot from a movie in the 80s.
I know.
They've stolen a TV show and they're ransoming it.
They stole our demo tape. but Kimmy Schmidt and Silicon Valley are my life at the moment. I just can't. I've watched Silicon Valley three times over because every time I have to wait a week for another episode, I go back to the first episode of season one and start plowing through it because there's not been that.
You have so much time.
I stay up very late.
So much time.
I'm very tired.
I've been watching The Night Manager, which has just come to Amazon Prime, and I'm really enjoying that.
Yeah, we'll go back a year on the podcast. You'll find our critique of that. Ben wasn't too
pleased. Did you do it?
Pleased with that. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Why was Ben? What did Ben not like about it?
I don't think we did that.
Are you sure?
I don't think we did.
We definitely talked about it.
I remember us talking about it, but I don't think we actually did a whole show on it.
Right. No, I think Ben's thing was just an industry thing again. The budget for that was something like £20 million or something. Oh, so it's like,
but why is it? Why does he not want that? It's a BBC thing.
I think because when you are competing on budgets that large, it's a bit like Premiership football and saying, you know, why aren't there more grassroots teams or whatever? That's a bad example.
Well, because people keep chucking £20 million at something. All right, okay,
yeah,
fair.
Yeah. Yeah. It's difficult to get a foot in the door for anyone if you're not Hugh Laurie and Tom Hiddleston and very famous rich people already. You know, it's a rich person's game, I think.
Fair enough.
But it is nonetheless.
They're bloody good at it, though.
Very
they?
Good.
They're really
very good.
Good.
Very good.
And Tom Hollander is delightful.
Yes.
Tom Hiddleston.
No, Hollander.
No, Hollander.
Isn't it as well?
Yeah.
I love him.
He's much more fun than Hiddleston.
I imagine isn't you're his friend from London, Marcia.
Me, I saw him in the Threepenny Opera at the Donmar Warehouse about 20 years ago, and we all fell wildly in love with him. And so I
yeah, what a treat! Wow.
How much was your ticket for the Threepenny Opera?
I can't remember.
If it was
really
more than 3p, I'd have complained and got my money back. Thank you.
if you want to do The Night Manager, I haven't seen it. I would be so in for that on a pod.
I think we're so late on that one, even by Marsha standards. We're like so late, but we'll pop it on a list.
I heard they're going to do a second series.
Oh, great. Well, that would be a good time to do it. Let's wait and see. That'd be good. A catch up for people who haven't seen it. So Frequency, Jamie, you're not going to bother. Matt, you're not going to bother. I am going to bother, Marsha. That's one in three.
The 30%. Time and a place.
Yeah.
I can't believe after how she's treated the West Wing that you're going to give her this.
I know how awful.
All I do, and we could talk about the organisation of this box set and the demands made by the people who turn up once a year. All I do is give and give and give. And I accept that it's very unlikely that anyone else will live by the doctrine that I follow. But Marsha, if you stick with West Wing and if you watch Mad Men, your taste is going to improve 100%. I promise you.
Taste.
Oh, it's amazing. Well, at least go for Silicon Valley because it's short and very funny.
I watched the first two episodes when it came out and it did not move me at all.
Okay, crack on.
Oh.
Matt
but I do trust you.
But crack on, it's just...
Okay. Oh, I love good. So many of the actors in it that I want to love it, so I'll give it another shot.
Which one, sorry? Which one are you talking about?
Silicon Valley.
I mean, it's... Silicon Valley. It's at a stage now Silicon Valley where it's so good, it knows its characters so well and everything that it's just having so much fun.
We've said it about so many comedies that you've got to let the actors and the characters get used to themselves. And once
I'll tell you what, Marsha, don't watch Silicon Valley, watch The League.
Oh, God, no. You see, Matt, what you've done is just done the best example of what Marsha's doing. It's like the Quantum Leap is... Silicon Valley to Marsha's frequency. Sorry, what am I saying? You know what I'm saying.
You said, yeah,
the
I know
league.
What
you're yeah. Listen, thank you. This has been fun. You're wrong. This has been fun, and thank you all. And please go back and listen to the podcast that you've missed. I am not talking to you, the listener. I'm talking to Marsha right now. And if you've got any feedback, please email us, studio@theboxsetpod.com. Always welcome suggestions. We know you listen. We always love a good suggestion and a bit of feedback. Why don't you tell us whether you'd actually buy a film poster, a box set poster, if we made them? If we were bothered to make merchandise, would you pay, say, £5 to help support this podcast? Because this microphone's going to need replacing soon. Goodbye. What's
and
on next week?
Next week, is it Big Little Lies?
Big Little Lies, which I've just finished. Marsha, are you on Big Little Lies?
I know. I'm really excited about watching it. Everybody's been telling me from all directions that I have to.
Thank you all. See you next week for Big Little Lies.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Thank you. God bless Manchester.
God bless.